Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. It's been a pretty tough season so far for the Boston Red Sox, but last night in Minneapolis, their manager John Farrell guided the American League All-Stars to a 5-3 victory over the National League.
And arguably the biggest American League star was veteran Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter, playing in his final season and his last Midsummer Classic.
What a start!
There he is, Derek Jeter, starting his night with a double, and with us now in the studio to talk sports, as he does every Wednesday, is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So there was Derek Jeter playing his final All-Star game. Whether you love or hate the Yankees, it's impossible, I think, not to admire Jeter. What did you think of his appearance last night and how he'll be remembered in the years ahead?
Well, his appearance was perfect. He was 2 for 2. It was excellent, marred slightly by a terrible instance of utter corruption in the game of baseball. Apparently, a pitcher threw him a pitch that he could hit.
Intentionally.
Yes.
Yeah, that baseball's not supposed to work like that, right. But it's the All-Star game, and what are you going to do?
Another thing, I think, Bill, that was remarkable about the World Series, as many Boston fans will note, was that, or the All-Star game, I should say, was the how few players there were from the reigning World Series Red Sox. What happened to the afterglow?
It was like the famous Monty Python sketch of the cheese shop that was utterly uncontaminated by cheese. It was an All-Star game utterly uncontaminated by field players from the Red Sox. Mugshots are rarely flattering, and players on last place teams rarely make the All-Star team.
Well, a couple of them did, but you know what? We're seeing more and more rookies who are in the Red Sox lineup. Just last week, I think that there were like 4 or 5 of them in the starting lineup. Pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, it's very exciting if you're future-oriented.
Yes, yes. How distant in the future?
Well, and nobody knows. If you can go from first to last, I suppose you can go from last to first again. That would be the optimistic take on that particular situation. Baseball teams and other franchises don't talk about rebuilding seasons because that tends to discourage fans from paying the freight. But that's what's going on now. 5 rookies starting a game is quite a remarkable statistic.
Just wait till last year. That's all.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Famous old Dodgers sing.
All right. Well, let's turn from the American pastime to the world's passion, World Cup soccer.
Still full of running, and here's Götze! It's Mario Götze! It's Super Mario! He might just have won the World Cup for Germany!
Super Mario Götze, and of course he did win the World Cup for Germany. They beat Argentina 1-0 on Sunday. Bill, what did you take away from that tightly played game, indeed from the entire World Cup event?
Pretty exciting. I have to acknowledge that I watched that game while wearing a Messi shirt, so what I took away was heartbreak.
You don't mean like spaghetti sauce.
No, I mean like M-E-S-S-I, the greatest player in the world. But it was a great game. The team that played a little better won by a little, and that is pretty much the way it works out in soccer games like that.
It really did seem that the two best teams were represented in that final.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. There was a lot of great soccer played. There were a lot of teams that played well in spurts, and a lot of teams that surprised people with how well they played, yeah, given how they qualified. But over the course of the whole tournament, it would be very difficult to say that the two best teams didn't meet in the final.
Let me ask you this. You know, there's been a lot of talk, and it seems like every time that the World Cup comes around, this talk emerges, that Americans paid a lot more attention to soccer this time around. Do you think it'll stick this time?
Well, yeah, they did pay a lot of attention. You can look to any number of statistics to back up that argument. I think the question of whether soccer will stick is kind of out of date. Soccer has stuck.
Yeah.
And if you look at places like Seattle and Portland, Major League Soccer is drawing enormous crowds. And even in the cities where it isn't drawing quite that well, it's still doing rather well. And the league is healthy. You know, all sorts of well-known European players coming over to play here, and some Americans leaving MLS to go play in Europe, it's on a good course. It's growing, perhaps not as quickly as some people would like, but certainly quite steadily.
Bill, speaking of Americans in Europe, or at least in England, you were one of them recently. You had an encounter with an international sporting event. You saw stage three of the Tour de France in London, of all places.
Yes, the Tour de France began in the UK. There were three stages, the third of which ended quite near Buckingham Palace. I watched from embankment, watched them slide along the Thames, and if you blinked, you missed it, but I didn't blink.
Was it fun?
It was great. It was great because it was a surprise. When we went over to London, I didn't even realize the Tour de France was starting there. So we saw this big banner at the Blackfriars tube stop, and it said Tour de France. And we thought, oh, well, this must mean this is the right stop to get off if you want to watch them go by. And so we did. It was great.
Fantastic. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. It airs Saturdays at 7 a.m., again at 7 p.m. He's with us every Wednesday right here on Radio Boston. Bill, thanks so much. Good to see you.
Thank you, Anthony.